Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And we welcome your call from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls. We have Janet Folger with us today, and we're going to be talking about the fact that Christianity is under attack. Now, those of you who listen to our programs regularly realize, of course, we feel very strongly that there is an effort to undermine Christianity, to put it into a defensive position. And Janet has written a book going into the background of how this, what's really going on. Thank you so very much for being with us today.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Well, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you happened to write the book.
Well, I've been involved in the pro-life movement most of my life. Worked with Ohio Right to Life, actually helped to pass the nation's first ban on partial birth abortion, and I've been really focused on trying to restore protection to children. And I heard a speech back in 1997 when Bob Knight gave a talk at a Reclaiming America conference, and I was just getting ready to become the national director at the Center for Reclaiming America with Dr. D. James Kennedy. And I heard him say something that, frankly, I didn't believe. He said that the goal of the homosexual movement is nothing short than the criminalization of Christianity. And I just said, you know, come on now. That's extreme. I don't buy that. You know, it's make your case without hyperbole is my thought. and I'll tell you, I really did. This doesn't seem right. And then I started watching and listening and learning and realizing as I'd be flipping the channels, for example, I remember going through C-SPAN, and there was the director there of the Human Rights Campaign, the largest homosexual lobby. And they were pounding on the podium saying, we must do away with words like abomination. And immediately I thought, huh, where's that word found? Of course, it's in the Bible. And they want to do away with words like that that are found in the Bible. And so the more I listened and the more I learned, I realized that things are getting so out of hand. He actually made a prediction back at that time that the homosexual activists would go after the Boy Scouts. I remember the conversation well. I said, come on, Bob. That would be a PR nightmare. Boy Scouts, they're American as apple pie, helping old ladies across the street. Come on. And sure enough, they did. And so as I was watching, I realized that they're basically working to silence everyone with whom they disagree, or anyone who disagrees with them verbally and actually out loud. I remember talking with a woman 7 years ago at InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. Great organization. They're spreading the gospel on college campuses around the country. And I said, are you guys dealing with issues at all? Are you guys talking on issues, anything about, you say anything about abortion or evolution, homosexuality? They said, oh, no. We just deal with the gospel. We just want to evangelize. I said, you know what, I think that's the most important thing, obviously. I said, but I will make a prediction to you. I predict that if you don't discuss, if you are silent on the issues that God has something to say about, you're going to lose your right to evangelize. And it was later that very same year that InterVarsity Christian Fellowship lost their ability to witness on campus because they wouldn't let a homosexual activist be on their board of directors. If they can silence the truth, the message here is that they will silence the gospel.
And I think that, of course, there's just a very small group of radical activists and the leadership of the homosexual movement, and they're doing everything they can, in my estimation, to make what the homosexuals are doing so obnoxious, to create a counter to them. And, you know, I think that we're being manipulated. I think a lot of homosexuals are being manipulated. But I will tell you, the agenda of the homosexuals really is a very, very violent, very angry, very hostile one, especially to Christianity. We're going to be back in just a moment here with Janet Folger. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, Our guest this afternoon is Janet Folger, and we're talking about a book she's just written about, really about the Christianity and the attack on Christianity, and pointing out that, you know, she really didn't believe that sort of thing would be going on until a few years ago. She had heard a talk by a Christian leader saying that there was an organized effort on the part of homosexuals, at least the leadership of the homosexual movement, to actually one day outlaw Christianity in this country and the use of the words in the gospel that were offensive to them. Well, pick up the story from there, because now we have a new audience for 3 minutes, and they haven't heard your introductory remarks, so if you want to go ahead and repeat yourself, go ahead.
Well, basically the message is of my book that I thought that was an overstatement, that really the goal of the homosexual movement is to criminalize Christianity. I said, that's ridiculous. Come on now. There are some nice people I know that are homosexual, and they still are. And that's a different situation than the agenda that seeks to silence all those with whom they disagree. And as I was watching to see what was happening, the attack on the Boy Scouts, the attack on groups like InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, saying that they can't be a group. Because? Why? They wouldn't let homosexual activists be on their board of directors. And last time I checked, they did not require, for example, that pro-abortion groups on campus weren't required to have pro-life board members of their boards of directors. It's absolutely absurd that this is the one issue, more than anything else, that demands conformity, that demands that people march in lockstep, or they will be penalized. To the extent that we see Christian college, campus groups, fraternities, sororities, Christian clubs kicked off of campuses all across America. We then see that the attack has intensified against, well, for example, pastors. I made a prediction in my book. And frankly, it was a prediction that a lot of people probably wouldn't have believed either. Much like the speech I heard in 1997, I didn't buy it. A lot of people wouldn't have believed my outrageous prediction. My prediction? I predicted that if things continue as they've been going, that we're going to see pastors literally thrown in jail for the content of their speech in the pulpit, for the sermons. And so that outrageous proposition, I was basically prepared to back it up in chapter after chapter, case after case, and say how this could happen. Well, before I could finish chapter one, it had already happened. In fact, Pastor Auke Green, I just spoke with his attorney, had him on Per Anderson, just had him on my radio show. They're still waiting to hear from the Supreme Court in Sweden whether or not Pastor Auke Green...
Hold that thought right there.
Sure.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest today is Janet Folger. And Janet, give me the name of your book there.
It's called The Criminalization of Christianity.
Criminalization of Christianity, and she's talking about how a minister over in Sweden is being threatened to go to jail because in his sermon he was critical of homosexuality, and yet this is part and parcel of the Bible. You can't deny Romans 1 unless they want to begin cutting the Bible up and saying, oh, well, you just can't preach from Romans 1 or from Leviticus or some of these other places where they tell you that homosexuality is wrong, and yet if you care about homosexuals, you're going to tell them what they're doing is going to kill them.
That's the bottom line. I mean, I'm not allowed. Let's just say that some of your radio station actually was carried by a Canadian station. And the following words, I am not allowed to say on Canadian radio or television the following, that according to the Centers for Disease Control, homosexuality is so dangerous that two-thirds of the cases of AIDS in this country, more than 66%, are men engaging in homosexual sex. It is a dangerous lifestyle. The research shows that it'll actually knock, on average, 20 years off your life. It's something that is three times, according to the Journal of Epidemiology and according to the American Medical Association and other reports, that it's actually three times more dangerous than smoking. Now, we don't see Heather Has Two Cigarettes being pushed in the agenda of the elementary schools, because it's a dangerous behavior. And yet, they are now pushing this agenda on kids in not just in the elementary schools. It's going all the way up to college, university settings. Now the workplace with the sensitivity trainings. Well, we're seeing people, as I predicted, that are actually losing their job, like a guy by the name of Matt Barber. Here's a guy, he says, you know what I went through? They made me go through sensitivity training, and I didn't speak up. And he says, and they made me fund domestic partnerships with Allstate Insurance, and I didn't say anything. He said, when I wrote an article, when I actually took my own computer and wrote an article for marriage on my own computer, in my own house, on my own time, they fired me for it. He says, then I have to speak up because people are losing their jobs because they actually have the audacity to stand for marriage, are you sitting down, between one man and one woman. That has now become so controversial that you will lose your job in America over it.
Now what about Adam and Steve? The problem is that how can these things be happening in our country, Janet? It doesn't make sense. I'm not questioning that they're happening, but none of this really makes sense. I mean, why would the leaders of this country, why would people in key positions go along with this foolishness? Why would the Supreme Court find that there's a constitutional right to sodomy? Doesn't make any sense.
Our Supreme Court, contrary to what they were sworn to uphold, which is our U.S. Constitution, they're actually trying to work their agenda in any way they can. And even if they've got to, as they did in the Texas sodomy case, the Lawrence versus Texas case, they're actually quoting their buddies in foreign countries and saying, "Yeah, hey, we're striking down sodomy because our buddies overseas are doing the same thing." It is tyranny. It is, I think, an impeachable offense, quite frankly, to those members on the Supreme Court. And we have been, I think, by and large, as Christians, sitting on the sidelines. If we look at the numbers, just kind of give you an idea of what we looked at. In the year 2000, there were actually only one-fourth of the people that were identified as Christians, self-identified evangelical Christians, really only a fourth of them came out and voted. If you look to 4 years later, in 2004, we picked up some votes. In fact, we see a third of Christians, self-identified evangelical Christians, that actually came out and bothered to vote. And if I were to tell you that every Christian was involved as much as they could be, and we were still losing our rights, still being silenced by those who disagree with what the Bible has to say, I'd say we'd be in a lot of trouble. We are in a lot of trouble unless those two-thirds that have still not joined in to the... to being salt and light in this dark and decaying culture. Let's just put it this way. It's as if we're playing the Super Bowl, and we've only got a third of the players on the team. You know what? We've got two-thirds yet to join us, and they've got to come out and speak up. Because there are more of us than there are of them, but we have been so beaten into submission. We've been told that what we think is incorrect. You can put that word politically in front of it if you'd like, but they're still saying, you are not allowed to speak. You cannot celebrate your holiday called Christmas. There's a reason, incidentally, a striking resemblance to why Christmas has a striking resemblance to the word Christ. That's what it's all about. And so what we need to be able to do is empower Christians to be equipped to stand up with the truth, to speak that truth in all of society, not just in the educational front, but in the workplace. As we deal with the judges that we're now looking to confirm on the Supreme Court, we have got to be, and in the media and in the news, we have got to speak up while we still can. Because as I mentioned with the InterVarsity, and I've learned is if they can silence the truth, they will silence the gospel. That's why you see pastors being thrown in jail. And by the way, one of the reasons why is that there is a provision in Sweden that actually is actually saying that you could go to jail for 4 years for speech. Let me just read it to you directly from the Criminalization of Christianity. The law bans in Sweden all speech and materials opposing homosexual behavior and other alternative lifestyles. Read into that cross-dressing, bestiality, and polygamy and everything else you want. So basically, Sweden is saying the Bible is hate speech. And if you quote from it in the parts where it says that we shouldn't be engaging in this dangerous behavior, Leviticus, Romans 1, Corinthians, then guess what? You might be facing not 2 years in jail, as Pastor Green is facing, but now looking at 4 years. But how does that relate to us in America? Well, there are 11 people in the city of Philadelphia. They said, you know what? We just want to go out and evangelize. They went to a city park in the United States of America, in Pennsylvania, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and they started expressing that there's hope for change, that God loves them, that there is a message of salvation, that we need to repent, and Christ paid the price for our sins. They were arrested, 11 people, including a teenager and a grandmother, arrested for violating a hate crime law in the state of Pennsylvania, and they were looking at 47 years in jail for speaking, for the content of their speech on a public street, public park in Philadelphia. That means that grandmother, she's basically sentenced to life in jail. She's never going to see the light of day.
Well, now, here's what happened to the case.
The case was reversed, but it was hanging over them for several months. The only reason they were excused is because they had a videotape that, frankly, the scare of publicity got to them. But they were arrested on a hate crime violation, which I believe makes the hate crime law in Pennsylvania and around the country, New Hampshire, it's all over the place, and it's because it is the most dangerous bill in America. In fact, it's why pastors in the state of Pennsylvania have actually taken out insurance because they're afraid they're going to end up like Pastor Green, thrown in jail for the content of their sermon. So if you all are in California, let me tell you a little bit about what's going on there. Not only do you have to be in sync with the state to fund domestic partnerships if you do a certain level of business in the state. Otherwise, you can't do business with the state unless you subsidize homosexual and heterosexual non-married relationships, both of which the Bible speaks against. But let's just say, you know what, you're a business owner. You don't hold signs. You're not an activist like this Janet Folger you're hearing about. Well, then what if you're like maybe Scott Brocky? He actually lives in Canada, but what he did is he just said, I've got a print shop, and I'm not an activist, but a homosexual activist came in. We'd like you to print our materials. He says, no, I can't do that in good conscience, but my buddy across the street can, or down the block. They'd be happy to print it for you. Uh-uh. Not good enough for them. They actually sued, went through the Human Rights Commission, and Scott Brocky is now $170,000 in debt for trying to fight for his freedom of conscience to say no to printing business that he disagreed with. I say, well, that's Canada. How does that affect California? Well, in California, if you were to hire a man, maybe he wants to work at your radio station, and he comes in and says, I'd like to be a receptionist. And the next day, this bearded man with a mustache comes to work wearing a pink chiffon dress, pearls, and heels. And you say, I'm sorry, it doesn't really fit within our dress code. We're going to have to let you go. Well, in the state of California, you're going to be paying $150,000 because you're not allowed to fire a man who comes to work wearing a dress. Even if you are a Christian radio station, a Christian bookstore, a daycare center, this is what it's come to. Let me just tell you one step further, that if you're a parent, and we saw what happened in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, that outrageous appellate judge Reinhart says basically that, you know what, we're your parents. We're the ones who are going to decide what your children learn in school. You have no say. Well, there's actually no say in the school district that if they read a book to a kindergarten class, and let me tell you a little something that they're reading. Not just Heather Has Two Mommies. They're not just pushing this agenda with what happy little storybooks. Let me read you now what comes from a little program they've got called Cootie Shots. And they're being read to little kids in elementary school, such things as In Mommy's High Heels. Get a load of this. It's about a cross-dressing boy who wears a colorful skirt. Let me just read you the segment that your kids in school are learning. It says, let them say I'm like a girl. What's wrong with being like a girl? Let them jump and jeer and whirl. They are the swine, I am the pearl. Let them laugh, let them scream, they'll all be beheaded when I'm queen. Now, if we had written something like that, it'd be a hate crime. But because the homosexual movement pushes it down the throats of these little kids, it's something that's perfectly acceptable. Now, say little Johnny hears this. He says, that doesn't seem right. A boy wearing a skirt or two kings living happily ever after. He scratches his head and says, that doesn't seem right, teacher. Well, do you know that little Johnny is mandatorily selected out and sent in the state of California, sent to re-education classes, and mom and dad are never told. That's what's happening in the United States. It's happening while we sit on the bench.
But of course, Janet, there has to be a powerful, powerful force that is energizing this whole thing. In other words, what we're talking about is organized insanity, because there's no incidence in all history where a nation has embraced moral depravity where that nation has survived. Is this an intent to destroy America? Well, we'll cover these things and many other things when we get back. Our guest today is Janet Folger. Her book, The Criminalization of Christianity. And let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, there really are people who have an intense hatred of Christianity, and they are working very hard with people at the highest levels of our government to destroy Christianity here in the United States.
gives you the documentation for Professor Quigley's allegation that there was a secret society created in England that ultimately came to dominate England and ultimately came to dominate the United States of America. The Anglo-American establishment will give you the books that you can read, written by men who were actually involved in the original secret society. Professor Quigley opens his book saying that most people have heard of the Rhodes Scholarships, and most people, a few people, have actually heard that Cecil Rhodes wrote a confession of faith, which was attached to his first five wills, talking about the formation of a secret society. But what almost no one in America realizes today is that that secret society was actually formed and still exists to this very day. The Anglo-American Establishment by Professor Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, is one of the most important books you'll ever read, and available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In November of 1991, the 60 Minutes television show first reported on the French paradox, the fact the French violate every dietary rule for good health, eat a diet rich in fats and calories, and yet exhibit far better cardiovascular health than North Americans. Over a decade later, we know that molecules called polyphenols are responsible for the health benefits in red wine, but those molecules only remain stable in a sealed bottle of red wine. Longevinix is the first dietary supplement to stabilize red wine molecules in a sealed capsule, just like a corked bottle of red wine, providing red wine polyphenols without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives. One Longevinix capsule is equivalent in polyphenols to drinking 5 glasses of red wine. Call 866-405-4000 today to order Longevinix. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763. Or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done, get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Janet Folger, and we're talking about a book, The Criminalization of Christianity, Christianity is under attack today. And a lot of ministers don't want to talk about these things because they're controversial. And I will tell you from personal experience, if you speak out against homosexuality, they're going to come to get you as really almost a conspiratorial effort. And of course, you have no protection. The FBI won't do anything. The police won't do anything. They can make your life as miserable as they want to because, of course, they're protected by the law. Have you run into that, Janet?
Well, you know, I've certainly got my share of death threats, and in the pro-life movement, I've actually had them sabotage my car so that when I started it, it burst into flames. I'm not immune to the kinds of attacks that come when you speak the truth, but I have never seen the intensity, the violence, the absolute I'll tell you something. The only thing that comes close to it is the brown shirts, the Nazi brown shirts. And what I write about in the criminalization of Christianity is actually some of the ACT UP people actually said that that Mein Kampf, the Nazi party was their, that was their playbook. They actually studied it, and that's what they did. They bullied people, beginning with the American Psychiatric Association. They then went after to try to take them off the list, take homosexuality off the list of mental disorders. They went after anyone with the audacity to disagree. A guy by the name Pastor McElhaney in San Francisco, they not only went after him when he fired an organist who was homosexual, saying, I'm sorry, we really like you, but we just can't keep you on because you disagree with the our goal of the church and our goal is following the Bible and what it says. Well, they not only had the death threats and all of the things that came with it, things we're used to, but they actually lit a fire to their house and burned down the house, much of it, while the children were still inside, while they and their children were still inside. This is not like Will and Grace. I want to tell you something. It is not what you're seeing on television, where a bunch of people want to clean out your closet and change the way you dress. This is about changing the way you believe, changing the way you're allowed to talk, and what you're allowed to even preach from your own church and your own pulpit.
Well, I think it's a tragic situation, but these things are real. And is Reverend McElhaney still up there? We've had him on our program in the past. Is he still up there in San Francisco?
Yeah, Chuck and Donna McElhaney, we haven't heard much from them publicly in a while. They've written the book, and certainly, I mean, when they went from the phone calls that would describe their children saying, this is what we're going to do to your child before we kill them, and all of the perverted acts we're going to perform. I mean, I think that they've actually really taken a little hiatus away from the public eye because it's cost them. It's cost them everything. And we saw that with Anita Bryant, the same thing, where she lost her marriage. She lost her contract with the Florida orange juice. I mean, we see the kinds of things that happen to those who disagree with homosexuality, and I got to tell you something, you're not going to like it. And that's why I think so many people have remained quiet on this issue. And what I want to tell you is if we stay silent much longer, we have the right to remain silent, but if we remain silent much longer, those are precisely the very words we're going to hear before we see the inside of a prison cell ourselves.
Well, I think that it's very difficult to believe that they would actually try to get this hate legislation through here in America, but actually it actually was in committee. I think that it failed this time, but they'll keep coming back. And I know you probably have run into Ted Pike, who's been working in Washington, D.C. to try to block it. I don't think the average person has any idea how close that legislation came to passing that would have done here in America exactly what they've done in Sweden.
Keep in mind that I agree with you completely. It's past the House. It's before the committee. It's been taken out of the Child Safety Act in committee, but I will tell you this, that Ted Kennedy has said he's looking for another vehicle, and all he has to do is attach it to another bill, and we're facing hate crime laws that could threaten our own pastors, our own people in the United States, in much the same way as Pastor Green is looking at jail time for his sermon content. Let me give you an idea. This is no longer speculation. This isn't my opinion of what may happen. We can look at what has already happened, not only to the Philadelphia 11, not only to people like Michael Markavich, who was facing more than a year in jail for simply reading from the Bible at the Lansdowne Borough at the city council meeting in Pennsylvania. But let me tell you about New Hampshire for a second. There's a guy by the name of John Garamond. He is a guy who stole a cell phone. You know what? That's a bad thing to do. And for stealing a cell phone, he's looking at maybe 3 to 7 years in jail. You know what? That's a pretty good deterrent. I don't know if my cell phone is worth 3 years behind bars, but it's a nice deterrent against stealing. But he is actually facing not 3 years behind bars. He is facing 30 years behind bars. Why? Because of the content of his speech. I mean, what would somebody say that is so bad that it would, you know, take a 3-year sentence and turn it into a 30-year sentence, adding an additional 23 to 26 and a half years in jail? What would that, what would someone say that is that bad? Well, it wasn't Fatso targeting the lovers of cheesecake. He wasn't going after the visually impaired. He didn't refer to somebody as four eyes. No, he referred to somebody with an anti-homosexual word and now is looking at 30 days in jail.
Oh, we'll be right back here. Yeah.
ever wondered about the boys we left behind in Vietnam, in Korea? Did you ever know that we left 25,000 American boys behind in Russia, in Siberia, at the end of the Second World War? Have you ever wondered what really happened in Oklahoma City, what really happened with the TWA 800 on the route down off the eastern coast? Well, ladies and gentlemen, all of the subjects are well covered in a fascinating book by Craig Roberts entitled The Medusa File. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, order The Medusa File. Actually, Craig Roberts was a police officer working on the Oklahoma City bombing. And this book has been suppressed very effectively across America, and it's self-published, but I promise you that there's no other book I know that will give you a more contemporary history, frightening history that every American needs to know. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR now.
Sophisticated investors are buying gold and silver today because the dollar has lost almost 50% of its value in relationship to the euro, and the price of gold and silver has increased almost 40%. If you're interested in learning more about precious metal investing, why don't you call Bo at 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177, or visit him at Elliott's Stamp and Coin Shop in downtown Santa Cruz at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building, which is located between Trader Joe's and the Signature Twin Movie Theater. Bo's telephone number is 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177. And he's located at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building. And if you mention you heard about Elliott Stamp and Coin Shop on Radio Liberty, why, you'll get a 15% discount on some non-investment items.
Leading edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Janet Folger, her book, The Criminalization of Christianity. Janet, how can people get your book? Do you have a website that where people can go?
Sure. My organization is called Faith 2 Action, Faith the Number 2 Action, and you can go to faith2action.org, get a signed copy in time for Christmas. You can also get it at bookstores everywhere and online in lots of other ways. But Faith 2 Action will get you the signed copy, and we'll get it out to you right away.
Well, they're having any difficulty getting it in the bookstores.
You know what? A lot of them have only a couple of copies. So, yeah, if you don't have it, they can order it for you. You might want to even call ahead. But I actually would like people to go to the bookstores just so they get it in stock and more people have a chance to be equipped to make a difference. Because the book itself, The Criminalization of Christianity, it isn't just a wake-up call about how late it is and how bad it is. It's actually an action plan on what we can do about it, and I think that's the critical component as well.
Well, I think it is, too, but what can we do? I mean, certainly most ministers are not going to take a strong stand on this. They just as soon stay away from anything controversial because, after all, if you're a minister, you don't want people mad at you.
Well, I've actually got a... Honestly, if I'm a minister, or if I'm actually any citizen, I would rather fear God than fear man. And if you're a minister in particular, especially, you better be looking at what God has to say more than what those in the politically correct media establishment and the educational workplace may have to tell you. But what I've done here is we've put together a plan on how we can proactively take back ground. Because I don't know about you, I am sick of talking, and I am tired of losing battles we can win. You've heard what was said. The numbers show we've got two-thirds of the players that aren't even on the field yet. They're not even involved in the culture. They're not being salt and light as we've been commanded to be. Jesus said, if you love me, you keep my commandments. And that's not an option. It's a command. So I've got a couple of chapters in here. One that's of interest is a chapter on God. Because we've got to realize we're in a spiritual battle. We don't hear people talk a lot about this on the news stations, but I got to tell you something. It is real. That's what that battle, that the armor is all about. Putting on your armor, the armor of God, because we're in a battle. And what we know is that God can work through a sold out minority. When you look at what happened in what God says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, He doesn't say if we get every pastor in America. He doesn't say if we win the blue states. He says if my people, the ones who know, the ones who love Him and want to obey Him, which, again, you love God when you do what He says. Those people, if just His people, who are called by His name, if we humble ourselves, if we pray, if we seek His face and not just His hand of protection, His hand of blessing, but if we also, here's the one we often forget, turn from our wicked ways, then God will hear from heaven. Then He'll forgive our sins. Then He'll heal our land. People say, oh, you know what? I've read Revelation. Reads a whole lot like the newspaper these days. Yeah, I know what's going to happen. We just got to, you know, let it happen. I do believe that what the Bible says will happen. There's no question about it. 4,000 out of 5,000 prophecies have already come true. We just might want to pay attention to the ones that are left. But I've got a chapter on that, about how late it is and what's going on. In Spain, for example, they're actually inserting a microchip to buy and sell, or they're requiring it in government offices in Mexico. But if we look to see what the Word says, yeah, it's going to happen. But if we follow God's checklist, there's a chance it won't happen on our watch. For example, the people of Nineveh, they were told, you got over a month, just 40 days, and you're toast. You know what? Make your houses in order because you're dead, because you're wicked and you're about to be destroyed. And they followed that checklist. They fasted, they prayed, they cried out to God, they turned from their wicked ways, and you know what? God relented, and Nineveh was not destroyed. Much to Jonah's dismay, perhaps, but Nineveh was not destroyed. And so what we need to do is look up. We've got a lot of giants we're facing. We need to look up and realize that our God trumps all the giants we face. Then we need to look at some historical lessons, I believe. I've got a chapter on Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan, one thing I've learned about Reagan as I have studied his life and certainly campaigned, I remember cutting class to go hear Ronald Reagan speak. One of the things that he did is he didn't mince words. He called evil, evil. You know, he called the communist Soviet Union, he called it the evil empire. And when they took it out of his speech 3 times, he put it back in 3 times, and he strengthened it. And what we've done in this movement is we've called dismemberment of children choice. We call a perverse activity that will put your life in jeopardy, and not to mention all the diseases you're susceptible to, it's being gay or something that's avant-garde like Will and Grace. No. We have not spoken clearly and decisively about what God has to say about the issues of today. And what Ronald Reagan did, as he spoke clearly and decisively, 40 years later, history shows that who was right. You know, I remember, you may remember, there in California at the funeral, this was actually the D.C. service, where the former Prime Minister of Canada spoke. Former Prime Minister of Canada, Brian Mulroney. What he said at the funeral, I thought was very, very telling. In fact, I write about it in The Criminalization of Christianity in a chapter I refer to as The Basics, as we talk about there is such a thing as right and wrong, even though Barna research shows that only 6% of teens believe there is such a thing as absolute truth. But listen to what was said at Reagan's funeral. Listen to this. Brian Mulroney, former Prime Minister of Canada, direct quote, some in the West during the early 1980s believed communism and democracy were equally valid and viable. This was the school of moral equivalence. In contrast, Ronald Reagan saw Soviet communism as a menace to be confronted in the genuine belief that its squalid underpinnings would fall swiftly to the gathering winds of freedom. He said, provided that NATO and the industrialized democracies stood firm and united. He said they did. And he said this, and we know now who was right. All of the people that criticized Reagan, including Time magazine, came out after his death and talked about the secrets of Reagan's success. He actually took freedom on the offensive, as Margaret Thatcher said. We've got to do that with truth. We have been trying as hard as we can to survive the Cultural War. Do you hear anybody ever talking about winning it? Reagan did. When it came to the Cold War, he did not set out to survive the Cold War. He set out to win it, and that's what we must do. We must join together. We must control the debate, be proactive, and that's what we're really trying to do with Faith to Action. We're not another Me Too group. We actually link to over 100 ministries and organizations that are for life, liberty, and the family around the country, where instead of focusing on what our particular project may be or what uniform we may wear, we're actually focused instead on where the battle is the hottest and how we can rally around fighting where we can most take back ground. And that, I think, is the key. Quit surviving the cultural war. Let's set out to win it.
All right. Well, that's very well said, and I certainly agree with you. We have to go on the offensive, but how do we motivate people? And that is the biggest problem. You know, I talk to people every day, and they say, you know, I'm telling everybody, you know, about what's going on, but so many of them just don't want to know. So how do we make them realize that they have a stake, that they have to be involved, that, you know, if you don't stand up now and say no, you may very well one day be on your knees saying yes, whatever you want, sir.
Well, that's the bottom line. And I'll be honest with you, the people that have read my book, the emails I'm getting, the people that I'm talking to, they say, Janet, there's really two things I'm realizing. It is worse than I thought. It is later than I knew. And it is scary. The book is scary because it's issue after issue after issue. If you don't believe that your rights are in jeopardy, read this book. And if you are not convinced, then you know what? Send it back to me. Because the criminalization of Christianity is I believe, the most up-to-date, ironclad case that our rights are right now being jeopardized, that our very belief, the belief system of Christianity is being right now put in such jeopardy that if we don't speak up now, I guarantee you, if we stay in the closet very much longer, we're going to wake up and find a padlock on the outside of the door.
All right, fine. Well, then once we acknowledge that there really is a problem, then what do we do? In other words, we know there's a problem. We want to do something about it, so where do we go from there?
Well, it's about informing other people. In fact, when you go to faith2action.org or the shortcut f2a.org, you can get a discount when you order it for your Bible study group. Get an extra copy for your pastor. Because you know what? Until we get the pulpits fired up, that really is one of our main means of communication. We know that the media is not with us. The good news is some of that monopoly of the three networks has been broken up. We saw it in the Dan Rather in Rathergate. The bloggers have surfaced. We have seen the occurrence of Fox News and some fair and balanced reporting that was not a case 10 years ago. And so we're seeing that kind of thing happen. But what we need to do is be informed. And I think that again, give the wake up call, spread it out, and make sure take your copy. You don't have to buy more. Just lend it to people. But what I'm finding is people need hope. They need hope to realize that this actually is winnable. We've been so conditioned. It's sort of like I've got in the chapter the final chapter, Reason for Hope. There's a story about a fictional story which is based in truth about an elephant. And this elephant goes to the circus. And the elephant is got a chain around its leg and it's put in the ground and the elephant can't get away. And the elephant is beaten, and the elephant it talks about it's a metaphor. But what is really the case that an elephant, after you beat this elephant into submission, you don't have to put the big chain around its leg anymore. You put a little thin little rope. You put a little peg in the ground. Even though that elephant, as it grows, could pull that peg out of the ground, the elephant doesn't know it, and so he's just beaten into submission, doesn't think he can do anything, can't say anything, and that's how we become as Christians. You know what? The trainer who I refer to as PC and the bullies that we call TV and others that beat us into submission to say, you know what? You are mighty. Your elephant, your name isn't tiny, as the sign reads. It's mighty. And we actually have to realize that not only is there more of us than there are of them, spiritually speaking, there's more. Let's back up and take a look. That God trumps Satan. Satan is created. God's the creator. God trumps Satan, plain and simple. And if Satan took one-third of the angels, that means there's two-thirds left fighting on God's side. So God trumps Satan, two-thirds beats one-third. That's good news if you happen to be a Christian. You're tapped into fighting with God on God's side. Not that God's on our side, but that we're on his. And so, spiritually speaking, there's more of us than there are of them. And what we need to do is quit being beaten down into submission. Break the rope. Break the rope and say, you know what? I don't have to take this anymore. We have other alternatives. We have Christian radio. We have conservative talk radio, bloggers, Fox News, and other places, that we, and including the pulpits, where we can get the truth out and we can get Christians. Again, we don't need a majority. We just need a sold-out minority, as God spells out in His Word, a Gideon's army, if you will, to stand up and say, we will proclaim the truth. We will call evil evil, and we will take the truth on the offensive. As Ronald Reagan took freedom on the offensive, we will fight for the truth. And that, my friends, is what's going to give us the freedom to evangelize.
Well, I agree with everything you said, Janet. The problem we have is there are an awful lot of ministers that won't talk about evil. They want to talk about all sorts of good things. And they don't want to talk about hell. They don't want to talk about judgment. They don't want to talk about right and wrong. They have a message, and God loves everybody, and everything's going to be just fine. And they certainly would never want to speak out against anybody in government, because after all, they will quote Romans 13, that God put all those people in charge, and so we should be just submissive, and I don't think we should be. I think we have to stand for what's right. And I think that we've got too many ministers, you know, who believe in the faith-based initiative. They've just got their hand out there. They want to take money from government. But that's certainly not going to stand against government. I think the faith-based initiative is the worst thing that ever happened to Christianity.
There certainly is a danger in that, and we saw that with the Salvation Army. It almost buckled under with the domestic partnerships until we screamed and shouted and ranted and raved, and they backed away and said, "All right, we're not going to kowtow to the government request and to the, what the homosexual agenda demands. We're actually going to follow God," which was commendable. But yet, to the fact that they considered backing away from that biblical tenet is quite troubling. And I think you're right in the fact that there's a whole lot of people that are only preaching part of the Bible. You know what? God is love. And you know what? He does have a plan for your life. And you know what? It is a good plan. But you want to know what else? It's not just God is love. God is love. But God is also a judge. God is also going to come in judgment. You either accept Him as Lord, you make Him your Lord and Savior, or you're going to face Him as your judge. Because sin is evil. And God doesn't mince words when it comes to that. We either have to humble ourselves and accept that forgiveness and accept that Christ paid our admission fee into heaven, and that he's now the Lord of our life, because He's, of course, Lord of all, or He's not Lord at all. And what we need to do is not just say what the Bible says. We need to emphasize what the Bible emphasizes. Get a balance of the character of God. What I tell people to do is read the Bible all the way through. Get one of those one-year Bibles. First time I did that took me 3 years. Kind of embarrassing, but it did show me the overall character of God, that he is to be feared, and yet he is to be respected, he is to be loved, and he is a loving God, a merciful God, but he is also a God that is very clear about what is acceptable and what is unacceptable, and the behavior that he finds to be what he calls an abomination. You know, fornication, homosexuality, adultery. These are things killing innocent people, like we see with over 4 million unborn children. Excuse me, 40 million unborn children in this country. We're looking at blood, innocent blood that God says defiles our land. We look at a practice that he calls an abomination that we're celebrating every night on television and reruns of Will and Grace and Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. This is not something we should be teaching our kids and celebrating, because it is not only a dangerous lifestyle physically, it is one with consequences, with eternal consequences, that you don't want to have any part of. And so, again, when you love God, you do what he says. You care about what he says, and you seek to follow him. Because he said that if we seek him first, all the rest is going to be added. Everything else that we hope and dream for. God says in Ephesians 3:20, he's going to provide for us in exceedingly abundantly greater than we can imagine. You see, without God, there's no purpose. We're just going through life trying to fill our sexual gratification, our whatever desires, our greed, whatever wants and desires. No, there is a purpose for us being on this earth. And there is a reason why we're celebrating something called Christmas. Because there really is a God that came here 2,000 years ago, more than 2,000 years ago now, that walked this earth and got nailed to a cross so that we would have a way to be with him. You know, what's amazing to me is not so much that Jesus, you know, Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life." People say, "Oh, that's intolerant. How dare you say such a thing that seems to be closed-minded?" Guess what? What's amazing is that there's any way at all that the fact, you know what, Jesus wouldn't have come if he didn't have to. I could tell you that the house is burning down, and you may not like to hear it, but there's one exit. You know, you might think it's the basement door, but I'm going to love you enough to tell you, don't go down the basement door. Don't open the door with the real hot flame on the other side of it. There's an exit door, and you may think it's intolerant of me to tell you the one way out, but you know what? I'm going to love you enough to tell you anyway, and that's what Christianity is all about, and we need the freedom to continue to speak that truth. And that message of love, and pick up a copy of The Criminalization of Christianity. Get it on faith2action.org or in a bookstore near you, and be equipped to make a difference.
Jen, it's been a real pleasure having you with us. God bless you, and keep up the battle.
Thank you. God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And we'll be back in just a moment to wrap up today's program here at Radio Liberty. Have you ever wondered what really happened at Waco? Have you ever wondered if maybe the government was not giving you the full story? Well, there is the most amazing video. It's called Waco, The Rules of Engagement, 2.5 ripping hours of the story of a government onslaught into a group of peaceable people. Now, their religion may be different than yours and mine, but they were still Christians, they still believed in the Bible, and they believed that the government would one day become their enemy and destroy them. Well, Waco, The Rules of Engagement is a video that everybody who loves freedom should see, because the ultimate conclusion is the government did not want them to come out. The government did everything they could to keep them from coming out, to antagonize them, loud music, lights all the time, to totally create a situation where they could not think clearly or would respond normally. Waco, The Rules of Engagement is currently unavailable through regular sources. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR right now.
When was the last time you used Pure Soap? I mean real, hard-to-find, all-natural Pure Soap that contains no dyes, perfumes, deodorants, or antibacterials. Probably never, right? Hey, folks, Michael Trudeau here, and I want to tell you about my friend Marty. He's the owner and founder of the Calben Soap Company. For the past 55 years, the Calben Soap Company has been making triple-concentrated Pure Soaps exclusively for healthcare professionals and hospitals. Now, for the first time, Calben Pure Soap is available factory-direct to you and your family. Calben Pure Soap is made from all natural ingredients. It's earth-friendly and it's safe. Call the Calben Soap Company today toll-free at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091. Save up to 85% off supermarket and retail store prices. Visit them on the web at calbenpuresoap.com or call for information at 1-800-340-7091. That web address again is calbenpuresoap.com. Try Pure Soap once, and I guarantee you'll never use anything else.
You know, when I was growing up, my parents weren't worried about our education. We were taught the basics of math and English, science and history, the joy of art and music, and the need for sports. And our generation turned out leaders in every field. But as a parent today, I am concerned with my child's education. That's why I chose VHM Christian School. I know that at VHM, my children are getting a quality education with a biblical foundation. I'm not worried whether they'll be prepared. I know they are. VHM gives my children the tools to succeed and instills moral values. There are so many issues for me to be concerned about. I'm glad my children's education is not one of them. Won't you call VHM today? Your child is worth it. Call 475-4762. That's VHM Christian School at 475-4762.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and let me just mention a few of the things that we have. That we have a wonderful book by John Stormer, going into the background of what the Supreme Court is doing. It's called Betrayed by the Bench. It's the best book we've ever had on what's happening with the Supreme Court. And then we have a new book by Noah Hutchings of the Southwest Radio Church, going into the church growth movement, which, of course, is infiltrating every aspect of Christendom today. And some of the finest ministers we have been caught up in this. But this book is called The Dark Side of the Purpose-Driven Church, and understanding there's an effort to change Christianity. And they're doing a great job of it. And then, of course, we have the mental health screening, a new book by Dr. Dennis Cutting, what they're planning on doing to your child. The Miracle of Magnesium by Dr. Carolyn Dean goes into the background of the importance of magnesium in your diet, and that book is actually included in our new health special, which includes several books and several 4-tape sets that you really need for your health. We carry, of course, this new pamphlets we put together on the occult hierarchy, things I've written through the years, things Dr. Cuddy has written. Fascinating reading. I enjoy reading them. You can get all three books for $9.95. Project Daylily by Dr. Garth Nicholson. The story of this man, he was a professor at MB Anderson Clinic, taught medical school for 25 years, revered by his other physicians and by his students, and I knew several of the graduate students. Well, Project Daylily is the story of the attempts on Dr. Nicholson's life. The background of the AIDS epidemic, it was created just as they create all sorts of new diseases. The background of the chronic fatigue syndrome, the experiments that were actually carried out there in Huntsville, Texas, and all the people who were actively killed who looked into this. This reads like an adventure mystery. They don't actually have the right names in there, but I know many of the people because I've interviewed them. Project Daylily by Dr. Garth and Nancy Nicholson, must reading. Terror in the Skies by Annie Jacobson. It's a story of a woman who was on an airplane here just last year, and of course there was something very strange. There were a lot of people there of Middle Eastern origin on the plane, and what you will find from this is that the government was watching Muhammad Atta, and they knew that he had done exactly the same thing about 10 days before the 9/11 attack. And fascinating information in this book on what's really going on behind the scenes as far as terrorism. Terror in the Skies by Annie Jacobson, excellent book. And then we have, of course, the new health special, and that includes our 4-tape set on the statin drugs, 4-tape set on the benefits of vitamin C. The DVD is your water safe, the Miracle of Magnesium book, and the hidden truth about cholesterol-lowering drugs. You really need to have the information. We've got great 4-tape sets on autism, Lyme disease, mercury, and a mercury update 4-tape set on statin drugs, the supernatural, and we have the vitamin C, and we have the latest 4-tapes, the oil deception, because what you're seeing with the oil shortage is a scam, but it's not going to matter. It's going to end up impoverishing you. You're going to have to pay more for your electricity and your natural gas and your heating oil. But you really need, of course, to get our 4-tape set. And, of course, if you'd like to get a free copy of our latest newsletter, the Peak Oil Part 2, we'll be glad to send you one free of charge because you can pull it down off the Internet now. It's up there at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. But if you'd like to get a free copy and you haven't been in touch with us before, we'll be glad to send you one. And, of course, if you order any of the things, you could simply ask for a free copy of the newsletter. Peak Oil 1, Peak Oil 2, we'll get them to you. And then, of course, we ask you to pray for America, to pray for revival because this is a spiritual battle, to pray for our leaders and ministers, but please pray for Radio Liberty. Remember our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. If you get the Big Berkey from us, you'll get a free video we produced. And then, until tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.